So, welcome back. We've taken a little break and are ready to get back into it. In part one, we discussed how important Hamas is in Palestinian society on a social level, be it providing services as any normal government would. We saw that Hamas actually supports the two-state solution, contrary to popular belief that it just wants to annihilate Israel. It supports the two-state solution. We also looked at the conditions in Gaza that shaped the path for Hamas to become the main opposition to Israel, namely the inhumanity of the blockade and quite simply how bad the conditions are for Gazans. It's in really this last point that we can now transition into some of these allegations. There's been a lot of confusion in the online discourse and a lot of misinformation, and it's misinformation coming both from the Israeli side, but also just from simply lazy journalism. I mean, I have one of the key examples here that I'm referencing is the fact that it was apparently the case that there were 40 babies in one of the towns in which Hamas had taken control of after the Israeli forces managed to regain that town from Hamas. Apparently, an Israeli army officer told a reporter at the scene, and I quote, and I'm going to quote the tweet exactly what she says: "Soldiers were still pulling bodies out of homes in Kafr Azza today, near the border fence with Gaza. A major told me they found decapitated bodies of women and children. Brackets. To clarify, we were not shown these bodies. I cannot independently verify." That, to whoever wrote that, Bell Drew, is disgraceful journalism. A few hours later, the Anadolu Agency, which is the Turkish state media, received a report from the Israeli army saying, "The Anadolu Agency has received a report from the Israeli army where they have no information confirming allegations that Hamas beheaded babies."
When the Israeli army is defending Hamas, I think that's the point where people need to realize that the amount of misinformation we're seeing on social media is absolutely terrifying. And really, I think, is a moment when a lot of people who lecture their grandparents about believing everything they read on WhatsApp need to believe that they also need to stop believing everything they read on Instagram or Twitter, right? Just because the platform they're using is a little more, youthful doesn't mean that they aren't making the same mistakes.
I'm sorry, that was a good one because my mom has come with me. Did you see on WhatsApp what's going around? I'm like, Mama, I've never heard of that. But this is so true. We are living in the age of misinformation. She's about to try, no, really, she was about to try some, like, I don't know what it was. It was so crazy. She's like, "Can I try this on you?" I'm like, "Where'd you get this information? It's going around WhatsApp somehow." But anyways, we are living in the age of misinformation. And it's crazy to think that there are things like AI nowadays that exist where you could use it to disseminate false information. I just ask people to be vigilant, watch what you consume and scrutinize it, honestly. With that said, I guess I could, should I move on to the other allegations? Because I need you men to sit down. This one's for me to take on. As a woman, there have been allegations of rape, right? A lot of accusations that Hamas is raping women. First of all, as a woman myself, I will never deny a woman's rape allegations off the bat. No. That's it's a personal, something very personal to me. So, but these allegations appeared out of thin air, not from the victims themselves. Okay? So we're not denying the victims' allegations. This is somebody who supposedly witnessed it, a soldier. Like I said, I would never deny a woman's rape allegations right off the bat. But again, this is not coming from the victims themselves. No one has actually spoken to the victims. At the end of the day, like I said, there is a lot of misinformation being spread to justify a lot of atrocities that are going to be carried out by Israel. So please be careful and completely scrutinize what you read, what is told, and until there's backing, like evidence backing that claim. Okay, I'll be the first to condemn that because as a woman myself, rape is not permissible in any context. So with that said, is there any other allegations that anyone wants to address?
The thing is that this is a lot of misinformation that is just overflowing on social media, and nobody's doing their due diligence. They see these videos that rally a lot of fury, but they don't actually check, well, does this video actually show that the allegation, what the allegations being made, right? Yes, I see chaos. Yes, I see violence. But does this actually show XYZ? And the truth is, the Israeli government has not said anything about incidents of rape. The Israeli newspapers themselves are not saying that there are incidents of rape. This has been, at the time of recording, there has been no evidence for this. And I would personally like to say that the fact that there is no evidence for this, and yet these allegations have come out, I do think need to be put into the context of the fact of the very Islamophobic and very racist and very Orientalist view of Palestinians as an Arab people and as a majority Muslim people that Westerners in general, but even to a terrifying degree, Israelis have. Israelis, you know, this follows, these accusations are part of a much larger movement that that is common in white supremacy and is common in xenophobia and racism, where the society's women are kind of talked about almost as property that needs to be defended from the big bad brown man.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, we need to protect our women. Look, they're marrying our women. Look, you know, we need to take them away from them. And that is racist. Like, that is racist. And it kills, because when you demonize an entire people like that, right, this type of conditioning we have seen in history always comes before in order to legitimize some massive atrocity, right? It came before the Iraq War. It became right after 9/11 to justify the so-called war on terror that killed hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians in the global south, in Arab countries and in other Muslim countries. And that is, we are witnessing a repeat of that, where a lot of this very Orientalist, very Islamophobic rhetoric is being redeployed to justify the violence that is being inflicted on Gaza right now, where, at least when I last checked 2 hours ago, Israel has killed and mass murdered 160 children in Gaza. 160 children in Gaza are dead in the last 3 years, in the last 3 days, sorry. And what, you know, people really need to be careful about this rhetoric, because it doesn't just stay on your social media. What it does is conditioning an entire societies to be prepared for the mass slaughter that we are witnessing right now.
I mean, I think that's a good transition now to go into some of these final points, which I would really like to talk about, which are some of the problematic points in the discourse in the last few days. And I think the clearest one is simply how, and we've seen it time and time again, not only this year, but every time there's been an assault on Gaza, we see the same thing again and again and again. Do you condemn Hamas? By every single news reporter on TV. What really blows my mind is that I think the most insane case that I saw was I think yesterday on TV, when the Palestinian ambassador to the UK, Hossam Zomlod, he announced during the interview that six of his family members had been killed by an Israeli airstrike. And the response, not even 2 minutes later in the conversation, the response from the journalist, the so-called journalist, was, but you do have to condemn Hamas attacking civilians, right? Shocking. Shocking. How you could say that in such a moment, and it boils my blood. But it's not only that. I mean, I'll just quickly wrap up this point, and then you can put your take on it, guys. But simply, if we bring this into a wider scope, condemning Hamas, or having to condemn Hamas for most Palestinians, is like condemning armed resistance, because they are the only force of armed resistance. And if you're denying Palestinians the right to armed resistance, what other options do people have? Diplomatic routes have been completely exhausted, and Palestinians have just been met with bullets during peaceful protests, or being called anti-Semitic, or whatever there is. Everything under the sun, Palestinians have been called that. If diplomacy doesn't work, then why should we also not be able to take part in armed resistance?
I've been hearing a lot of people say, well, listen, I actually support Palestinian armed resistance, right? Of course, they have to, they have no other option. But I condemn the specific things that Hamas did on Saturday. Why is that wrong, right? Shouldn't I condemn these things? And what I have to say, tell these people is, all the violence, all the suffering, all the pain, its root cause is the decision Israel makes every single day to maintain an actual apartheid regime, to maintain a brutal occupation, to brutalize millions of people, to treat them as subhuman. When you condemn the violence of the oppressed, what you are doing is assigning the blame to them and assuming that they have the primary agency in this context. And even if you condemn the violence of the oppressed and the violence of the oppressor, you say, well, I condemn this specific action that the resistance did, but of course I also condemn the oppression. You're not getting the point. The same way that the brutalization of Palestinians is a natural consequence of an apartheid regime, so is all forms of Palestinian resistance and Palestinian violence. It is impossible to impose apartheid, to treat people as subhuman, to slaughter them, to kidnap their children in the middle of the night, and to expect them to act like saints. Sorry, I am tired of people expecting Palestinians to be the perfect victims. I am tired of people expecting Palestinians to act like saints. Because when you look at history, and you look at the history of the colonized and the history of the oppressed, they didn't act like saints either. Neither should they have. The Native Americans kidnapped settlers. And if I swear to God, if Twitter existed back then, you would have people saying, I condemn the Native American resistance for kidnapping civilians. The Native Americans kidnapped settlers, as they should have, and as they were justified to, because they had no other choice. The Algerian liberation struggle was ugly. The South African resistance was ugly. Fighting against oppression is ugly because of how asymmetrical it is, that the oppressed have to do ugly things. That's the truth of it, because they have no other choice.
That's so true. I mean, it goes back to what I said earlier. And then, you know, it makes me think that, so they only tie terrorism to Hamas, but they forget about state-sponsored terrorism that Israel conducts in history and, you know, backing settler violence. Like, this is real stuff. Sabra and Shatila massacre. How did that happen? It was sponsored by Israel. It was prevented by, you know, the U.S. could have intervened and stopped it, but Israel prevented that, you know? This is state-sponsored terrorism. Just because Israel is a state. Just because Israel is a state, that doesn't mean it can't conduct its own terrorist acts. To be honest with you, I think what's going on in Gaza right now is an act of terrorism. They're trying to instill terror into the population so they don't try this again, right? Or they want to make an example out of Gaza, it feels like.
But Israel has that moral superiority over Palestinians simply because they're, well, I mean, here, especially in Europe, they are seen as more similar. And so they have a moral standard and all of that. But it is just a joke. To us, Israel is the terrorist state. You do not live the lives that Gazans do every single day. Gazans are the ones being terrorized. Israelis live at the expense of Gazans. They live at the expense of people in the West Bank. They live at the expense of every single Palestinian. And yet we're the ones who have to say, oh no, but actually I do feel kind of sorry for them now. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I think also a very common talking point is that Hamas is, you know, by doing this, by undertaking this action, they're jeopardizing all Palestinians, right? Look at what, you know, they say what's happening in Gaza right now is Hamas's fault. Had Hamas not done this, Gaza wouldn't be getting bombed right now. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say two things about this. And the first thing is honestly what I think is actually more important than what isn't being said right now. Israeli brutality is so normalized that people treat it as a natural reaction that Israel can't be blamed for. So when people say, well, yeah, what Hamas did, look at what's happening in Gaza is Hamas's fault. they're talking about it like Israeli brutality and Israeli mass murder of children and families and the targeting of hospitals is just some natural phenomenon that happens. You know, if I drop an apple, the apple will fall to, you know, because it's going to be pulled by gravity. That's unchangeable. And it's not gravity's fault. It's your fault for dropping the apple. It's sickening that people are so willing to absolve Israel of its brutality just because of how much it does it. That is insane. That is insane. As if it is a natural response that when people fight against oppression, you not only oppress them more, you slaughter them. That's not a normal reaction. That's not something we need to accept from Israel as a natural reaction to Hamas's resistance, right? Don't shift the autonomy and the agency and the blame and the responsibility off of the apartheid state that believes it's normal to mass slaughter children because their parents are deciding they don't want their children to inherit their nightmarish reality and their nightmarish oppression. And sorry, just Alejandra, I just want to quickly say the second point, because also I do know that you guys have more to say, but I just want to say my quick bits about it, is that when they say that, oh, Hamas is, you know, took this decision, they say it as if Palestinians don't support that decision. Because the truth is, of course, there are many criticisms of Hamas that many Palestinians have, and many Palestinians criticize Hamas and disapprove of many things Hamas does, and for example, the way that it governs Gaza. But what does unite Palestinians is that we will support armed resistance by any one of our people, whether it was Hamas or it was Fatah, whether it was, you know, no matter which Palestinian did it or which faction did it, it is based on the principle that we support fighting back against the occupation. And if you listen to Gazans who are talking about this, of course they're terrified, right? Of course they're terrified. But many of them say it's a choice between slow death. You know, if we don't resist, it is slow death what is happening here in Gaza. Or a quick death if we do choose to resist. But at least by resisting, we have a chance at life. At least a chance.
I just wanted to add on to your first point, because it seems like throughout this this escalation in the past few days that Palestinians seem to have kind of lost a lot of sympathy from people for precisely what you said, in terms of like, yes, I condemn Hamas, but I still stand with Palestinians in their right to resist. Now, in the last few offensives, massacres, slaughters of Gaza, we have seen, thanks to social media, that people can put up their videos and people around the world can say, Israel is a child-killing state. Israel is intentionally targeting civilians. They need to stop. And all of that pressure in the past has forced, to some extent, the Israeli government to actually stop themselves. However, this time, the difference is that Palestinians have fought back, and the death tolls are, well, I think at the last time of looking, the Israeli death toll was slightly higher than the Palestinian one. And that, it seems like, for many people, is a reason to lose sympathy, because that is all Hamas is doing. The fact that Palestinians are losing sympathy, because it seems like this balance of power, like, I mean, the balance of power has not shifted, but it appears different because the death tolls are so high on both sides. And it seems like people are losing sympathy with Palestinians because the Palestinian death toll isn't as high as the Israeli death toll, because it's not, what was the statistic again? 10 to 1 or something like that?
Yeah, exactly, 10 to 1.
Palestinians aren't the ones suffering, well, I mean, the Palestinians are suffering. Palestinians are suffering immensely, especially now that the Israeli government has confirmed they're going to close the Gaza Strip completely. Palestinians are going to, the people in Gaza are going to suffer immeasurably. But because they're suffering, as well as some Israelis who have been killed through the attack by Hamas, all of a sudden, this sympathy is lost, because we are no longer the victim, or we're no longer seen as the victim. When I really hope to everybody who's made it to this point, you've listened to everything that we've said, and that Palestinians are inherently the victims of this entire system. But now that I've said that, now that we've all kind of, or at least I've gotten most of it out, there's a million and one things I could say on top of that, but I have just kind of been getting a bit emotional for the last couple of minutes. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add on to what I've just said, or anything that maybe you didn't have the chance to say before?
Yeah, it's true. We definitely all have gotten very emotional. It is a very emotional time. I don't think there's any Palestinian on earth who's currently doing well. I guess I just wanted to kind of maybe, you know, come back full circle and wrap up the question of, does supporting Palestine mean you support Hamas? And the answer is both no and yes, because like we've said earlier, Hamas is just another political party that, like any political party, many Palestinians disagree with and criticize. And you don't have to support them. You don't have to, you know, share their Islamist vision. I personally don't. But in terms of, do you have to support in moments of armed resistance, those people who are conducting armed resistance? Yes. It's not because they are Hamas that you have to support them. No. You can support them in spite of them being Hamas. I do. I support them in spite of disagreeing with them very strongly on many policy issues and how they govern Gaza in certain ways. But we cannot condition our support on opposing apartheid, right? We cannot see someone fighting apartheid, an anti-apartheid operation, and say, well, actually, I don't like how you did that. Therefore, I'm not going to support this action taken against apartheid. It's not about Hamas. It's about the principle of armed resistance, of fighting against the occupation. And guess what? If you wanted to find something you don't like about every single action taken against the occupation, then chances are you're probably just going to support its maintenance. We need to oppose apartheid more than everything, oppose this colonization more than anything.
First of all, history is repeating itself. Apartheid is happening in 2023 and no one is addressing the issue. This is my personal take on this. I think, you know, Hamas does not represent the Palestinian people, but I think it represents the will of the resistance. You know, under the conditions they, basically how they managed to still carry on the spirit of the resistance despite Israel is trying to actually kill that spirit with what they've done, stripping them of their humanity, their dignity, making them live in this. When we say open air prison, it's not just like a figure. We're not speaking figuratively. This is literally what it is. Prison, just, you know, you're exposed rather than in a facility. So I think, in my personal opinion, you know, this reflects my opinion, is that they represent the will of the resistance.
I would 100% agree with that. And I think that's a good place to end on what has been a triggering episode for sure. I think we've all felt the emotions coming through us as we've spoken about as you say, the spirit of the resistance, the fact that even that we cannot do right according to the majority of the world, whether we fight back diplomatically, whether we fight back through peaceful protest, whether we fight back through arms, we cannot do right because this moral standard is being put upon us by people who do not know what it is to be like us. And so on that note, I think we should say goodbye. We will be back probably very soon with an update on, because obviously we haven't really spoken about the developments in the last couple of days. A lot has happened and we definitely want to get that out. And so in a couple of days, we will be back with you again, giving a bit more of a recap of, well, the entire week that's happened since Hamas began this operation. So we hope to see you then.